I just want you guys to know that those, it wasn't rigged, but they do have a book they study. It tells you, though, how much studying they're doing, doesn't it? Even though if they can finish the question, it tells you how good they're doing studying, right? Even though it was a little bit, you know, all righty. Before I begin, obviously, I just heard about this yesterday. I don't know when it happened, but some of you in the community a little bit more would know. There was a young eighth grader who took his life this weekend, and in Martinsville in the middle school here. I heard about it yesterday. I don't know anything about it. All I know is they were saying he was just exchanging some messaging with some people, and it went pretty bad, and he took his own life at eighth grade. So be in prayer. That's got to be tough. We've obviously dealt with that this last week with another family. And actually, Mark texted me this morning. They're doing well, except physically they're a little under the weather. But he did, as you guys heard, I thought last week's testimony by Mark's dad. Folks, I couldn't have scripted it better when he said, "Thank you so much. I've never felt more loved and encouragement during this horrible time in their life, losing their son." So I'm really proud of this church in a good way. It just, we stepped up. We helped a family that need, and we need to keep doing it. The Chastain family, obviously, they're going to still have a lot of first. Matt had six kids, and so we do. But this, now we have another family in Martinsville affected by tragedy. And I don't know if you have any information. You're welcome to get it to me. I'll see what I can do to help, or we as a church can do to help. I don't know anything about the family. I couldn't even tell you the name right now. Some of you might know. Pardon me?
Geisel.
Okay. Okay, that's the parents? Okay. So we need to be praying for them. This is a tough trial. Eighth grade is just way too young and know what they're going through. So be praying for them. The other announcement I'd like to make on the other side is on January 12th, we're having our Freedom Fullness Seminar for the young adults. On the 13th, we're having a Pastor Oscar. What's his last name, Ricardo? Exactly what he said. Exactly. I don't think I could say it better, so I won't. But he'll be here on January 13th. He is the minister that is teaming up with us to head up the church in Honduras. So he will be here on January 13th sharing a little bit about his heart, his vision, and you guys can hear a little bit more about what we're doing. So in a couple weeks, you're going to hear more about what we're doing and what we've been able to sow into as a church. Also, starting at the beginning of the year, we get to start giving monthly. And when you start hearing about more of that, if you'd like to give, we'll give you the opportunity to do that also. Amen? All right, now, this message this morning, you can turn to John 14. It was supposed to be a different one, and I started researching the beginning and the beginning and the beginning, and this morning when I was putting all my notes together, I realized I can't fit this all into one message, so we'll just see where it goes today, and hopefully it gets done. So let's pray. Father, we ask you this morning that your word would speak to us more than anything. Your word would just get inside of us, that it would transform our minds, our hearts, our thoughts, and that we would allow your word today. We choose to allow your word to change us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll give you a story to start with. I was in a conversation this week with somebody talking about the Lord. And they were telling me about how they have a great relationship with God. And it was good. We were in a car talking for a while. And as the conversation went on, they made this, after a few F-bombs and a few other words, they're talking about the Lord and all this. And I just sat there, and they said this comment to me, and I never forget. I know that God loves me no matter what. And I know that I love him. And I know, and I listen to all this love, 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 love. I'm like, wow. We've missed it somewhere along the way, haven't we? God loves us so much that we can live the way we want. But, you know, I believe God's love is so real. And as Kenny was even praying that you would receive and manifest the love of God in our lives, and you can't even get to the depth of the love that he has for us. And there's nowhere you can run. There's nowhere you can hide from his love. And there's nothing that's greater than the love of God. But remember, that's his love for us. His love for us is unending, undying, and it's unconditional. He loves us based on his character, not on our ability to be loved. He loves us based on who he is, not on what we've done. It's not something we earn. It's not a merit badge that we have. God's love is so amazing. So I want you, the Father loves his children. So I don't want to ever rob you from getting a revelation of the amazing, awesome love that our God has for us. But I've never want to question God's love for us. This morning, I want to question just something a little bit different. John 14, verse 15 says this, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." This morning, I'll give you a little formula I like to. We know that God loves us, but do you know how God knows we love him? By honoring him and obeying him. The way that I know my wife loves me is because she shows it to me. She doesn't just say, "Well, you should know it. We've been married 20 years. You know I love you." If that's the way it's going to be, this can be a long marriage. And some of you live that way. "Well, she knows I said I love you when we got married. Good enough." No, it's not. If you love me, you will show it. There will be some type of expression out of your life that will be, I mean, if we are talking and we are disagreeing, which never happens because we don't disagree about anything, right? I'm lying through my teeth. But anyways, if you're in a discussion, honoring one another, and I was reading this quote earlier in the week. It said, when you're in a relationship of loving somebody and not living a life of fear and rejection, when you disagree, it's an opportunity to honor rather than to retreat. When you disagree with somebody, you have an opportunity at that point to either honor them and love them or retreat and allow rejection, anger, and frustration build up. And most of the time, we allow the other to build up. It builds up, and then we're in a place where we're not walking in love. And so when we love one another, there is a fruit of love. It is obedience and honor. And so God, believe it or not, is asking us to honor him and to obey him. If you don't believe it, let's just switch over to one chapter. I'm going to skip a lot of verses, but we're going to read the first 17 verses of John 15 this morning. And this is what I did not plan on doing. But as I was going through my notes and reading about three or four more verses in here, I thought, I can't just pick and choose what verses I want because, you know, I can't do that and just it would mess my thinking up. So I don't know if we'll get to Isaiah this morning or not, but let's jump into John 15 and break down what it means to love. And then I hope this week, if we're not, we'll finish it next week. I want to jump into Isaiah. And when God commissioned Isaiah to go, Isaiah chose to go because God showed up to him. And there's a point in which our lives that God wants to manifest his love and his presence in your life so much that that you have a conviction to do something about it. It's always a New Year's, you know, if you've been here at all in the last 20 years I've been here, I don't believe in New Year's resolutions because they're just words. I believe, as Chad was sharing this morning in our prayer meeting, he said he was praying that we would have a revelation that change starts today. And then it's a change that continues by everyday choosing. If you want to lose 20 pounds, that's a good idea. I probably need to lose more than that. But, you know, but how are you going to do it? By setting a goal that hopefully by the end of the year you'll magically hit a number? No, it's going to take you today getting up and going, "I'm just not going to eat as much sugar," which is like a miracle for me. Or "I'm just going to not eat as much fat." Ain't going to happen. I mean, so for me, it's like lose weight or, you know, not enjoy life, you know. But it's a rough dilemma for me. But either way, if you're going to make a choice, though, and you're going to make a decision, you're going to make a declaration, you have to choose to live that way daily. And when you hit your goal, do you quit? Most of us do. We exercise for a month and we hit, "Oh, we're done." That's not going to get you anywhere. It's choosing to change your lifestyle. And now that's the physical part. But spiritually speaking, this year, I want to see God do more in my life and more in your life and more in this church's life by choosing every day to walk in a way that is honoring to him in obedience. So let's start with verse 1, chapter 15, John. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, and he makes it bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch can bear fruit in itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Let me stop there for a minute. These are some of my favorite scriptures. Got a vine, we got branches. He is the vine, never mistaken. You're not the vine. You'll never be the vine. There's one vine. There's one source of life. It is our King, our God, our Father. And then that is the source of all life that we have is the vine itself. We are the branches that come off it. If the branch is not bearing fruit, what does he do? He cuts it off. Why? Because it's worthless. I did not call any of you in this room worthless. I just want you to know that. But your branches are worthless. It means you're not bearing fruit. The purpose of a branch is to bear fruit. The purpose of a believer is to bear fruit. Do you see this? I'm not making it up, and I'm not trying to be funny and rude. I'm saying, Jesus is saying this to his people, that I am the vine, you are my branches, and if you are going to be my branches, I want you to bear fruit. I want you to manifest the glory, the presence, the love. I want you to manifest the good news of the gospel. I want you to show them who I am by bearing fruit. And we're going to get to verse 16 in just a minute, which is down the road. But he's going to say, I ordained you, I called you, I chose you, that you bear fruit. Why did he chose you? He chose you to bear fruit. He chose you that your life would manifest God's glory, his life, through you every day. And if it's not doing that, he cuts it off. I don't know. We don't like this message. It's not popular because that's not very loving. But I didn't make, Jesus is either not loving or he's so loving, it's truth that hurts. I'm going to choose that one because I don't think Jesus is not loving. So therefore, he loves you so much, he warns you that if you're not bearing fruit, you'll be cut down. You'll be cut off. Doesn't mean you can't go and get back to in the vine and be re-nourished and go. But today, I want to choose to bear fruit. I want this year, 2019, coming up, is a year that we bear more fruit than we ever have before. Souls need to be saved. Lives need to be transformed. Physical bodies need to be healed. Emotions need to be healed. Marriages need to be healed. Children relationships need to be brought back together. Obviously, looking through the fact in this last month, we've seen two people take their lives. We need to do a better job loving the world and manifesting God's love for them out there. We have an opportunity to bear fruit. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, if you abide in me, and I in you, the same feet bring forth much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Have you ever seen, let's just make it, I didn't bring it because it's winter. But if I had a nice, great rose bush, and I cut off one of the branches because I like roses, and I set it on the ground, what's going to happen after a few days? It's going to die. Why? Because apart from the vine, it can't grow. This is how we are as Christians. You can do anything you want, but apart from God's word, you're not going to grow. Apart from God's presence, you're not going to grow. You cannot tell me you're isolated by yourself, living the way you want. You are doing absolutely nothing with kingdom fruit. I want to be a fruitful person. I want my life to mean something. And I was talking to someone last night. We were up in Zionsville or somewhere. And we're talking, and as I was telling Beth when we drove away, I was like, sometimes I ponder about, my mind went racing all night. We were talking about, the business I do, the church. And he goes, the guy asked, so you preach every Sunday? I said, well, not every Sunday. Our guy preaches. He's really good. But we rotate. And he goes, you're the preacher. I said, yes, I am. Oh, okay. And I realized, we don't know. They're one of Alyssa's friends, parents. So we don't know them. And we're just introducing ourselves. And I thought to myself, yeah, I am that guy. That's who I am. But, it's amazing that I don't think of it because most people I'm around, they know me as, oh, he's the preacher. But I got thinking, that's one of the characteristics of who I am. But when I think of who I am, I want to be a believer that bears fruit. I don't want to just be a pastor. Now, some of you think, well, a pastor should bear fruit. I hope we do, but I want to be a believer that's so in the vine that fruit is being born everywhere I go. And that ought to be a goal that we set for ourselves, because apart from him, we can do it. Verse 6. Now, I want you to check out the next six verses, and see the word if in here multiple times. Because now we just said, if you're in the vine, you're attached, you should be bearing fruit. If you're not attached, then you're not bearing fruit. So if a man abide in me, verse 6, He has cast, I'm sorry, if not abide in me, excuse me, he has cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall, when you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. You shall ask what you will and it shall be done to you. Have you seen that verse before? Look at the qualifier on the front of that. I am a child of God, attached to the vine, asking things in the vine's name to do it. When you're attached to God's plan, God's will, you're going to ask things according to the will of God. Because in James it says, well, why don't you have? You ask because you ask amiss. You ask for your own desires because you're not attached to the vine. There's a lot of people out there asking for things that are, well, I need this, I need this. Get yourself connected to the vine. Is it God's will for you to have this or to have that? Because if it is, I mean, here's the fruit. If it's God's will for you to have a new car, you're going to have it because that's what it said. I mean, it's possession stuff. I don't care what it is. Is it God's will for you to marry that person? I don't know. If you're abiding in him and you ask anything in his name, it will be done. Anything according to his will, according to being. But to see the qualifier was, you got to be abiding in the vine. You can't go over here and ask things, I want this and I want that. You know, you can name and claim the whole world, but it doesn't mean you're going to get it. But if you start abiding in the presence of God and abiding in his word, you're going to ask things according to his word, and it will be done. I'm tired, you're tired of asking for things and not getting done. Well, here's one of the reasons why. Get in the vine. Get connected to God's word and his presence. And when you are in his presence, in his word, you will ask things according to those things versus according to your own pleasure. Anything you ask, it will be done unto you. Anything. Wow. And that verse is all over. Obviously, our Mark 12 scripture we use all the time. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Anything. But we got to get connected and stay connected to the vine. Amen? All right. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Disciplined followers of Jesus bear fruit. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. I just think this is so weird. We're talking about bearing fruit and living in the vine, and he starts jumping into the next few verses about love. Because as Christians, one of the things I'm noticing across the nation is a sweeping manifestation of how much God loves us. And I love every bit of it. Don't get me wrong, I love it. I love the fact that we're finally, as a church, getting a revelation that God's love is not based on merit or based on performance. It's based on who he is. God is love, and in him there is no hate at all. God loves you. He loves you. He loves us. And I'm loving the fact that we're getting a manifestation and a revelation of God's love. But now it's time, when you live and dwell in that love, that you have a revelation of what you do with that love. Abide in him. Then you're abiding in love. And when you're abiding in love, you bear fruit in love. And when you're bearing fruit in love, you stay in love. Like verse 9 just said. As I loved you, stay in my love. Continue in my love. This is an awesome message about love, but it's also an awesome message about your responsibility to do this. And how do you do that? We just read in verse 15 of chapter 4. If you love me, you'll obey me. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Can I say anything more than that? If you obey me, if you honor my word, if you keep my commandments, even as I've kept my, you're living in love. It's time for you to get a revelation this morning that obedience is what God is longing for in your life. To obey is better than sacrifice. I don't care how much you sacrifice being a Christian. Oh, I'm just sacrificing. No, obey him. Don't do what he says don't do, and do what he says do. It's pretty simple as Christians. If he says don't do this, then you should not do that. And believe it or not, as Christians, you know, maybe you get to know me pretty well. Everyone in this room is going to have a different conviction on different things. You might watch a movie I won't watch. I might watch one you won't watch. You might drink something I don't drink. You might, I don't know. But here's the deal. I'm not going to be somebody who goes around and tries to be the Holy Spirit for you. If you love God and you're bearing fruit, you won't do certain things you can't do. There's a great poem that was written years ago called Others May, But You Cannot. Others can do this. And when you get to a point in your life, there are certain things you cannot do anymore. You can't go certain places because it's a bad testimony. You can't say certain things. You know, I'll never forget, I don't know, years ago, and actually, it's kind of embarrassing because she's actually here today for the first time in a long time. Hi, Amy Gray. Years ago, I remember using it was a Christian cuss word back in the day. Now, of course, it's used all over the place. Everyone uses it every day. But I remember the first time I said it, she had a gasp on her face. She thought, it was a Christian word that 75% of you use it on a regular basis. No, she's looking, she's still laughing. But either way, that was like 15 years ago or more. And you know, and I remember hearing, I felt terrible. I went home, oh, I can never say that word again in my life. And it wasn't like a cuss word. But you know what it is? People expect something more out of you. I don't want to be the person that walks out of the room and go, man, he's a pastor. That's kind of weird. I didn't expect that out of him. Oh, man. Wouldn't that just make you want to put your head down and walk out? But how about that? Let's just lower that a minute. He's a Christian. I'm surprised they talk like that. He's a Christian. I'm surprised they were talking about that kind of movie. I won't even let my kid. I won't let anyone see that. Wow. He's a Christian. I can't believe they go there. Folks, it's not legalism. It's being an example for who Christ is in our life. I don't want to be the guy. Just because you can go and have a Bud Light tonight, so be it. But is it right for you? For some of you, like, yeah, I feel fine about it. Others, no. I don't want to be the guy that causes somebody else to stumble based on my decisions. I don't want to be the guy that's going in there talking about a movie that we all saw, and someone goes and sees it and makes them, you know, I'll never forget, it was a couple years ago, someone was here from the pulpit, someone I didn't know, and they were invited by somebody I didn't realize invited them. And it was a really long morning, and Chad will remember this day very well because he actually got up and he sent me a very lengthy text afterwards. This guy was off his rock. I mean, if I knew better now, I would have got up and asked him to leave. Okay, it was one of those messages. Some of you, it was a long time ago. Thankfully, most of you don't know. Kenny doesn't, I don't remember. Either way, but during his message, it started going in this whole thing and started bringing up stuff from the world, secular things over and over again. And I was talking, and it was just I was just sitting here going, how am I being built up? And afterwards, I got a call from somebody. It said, when they started sharing that, it brought me back to a place in my life that wasn't good for me. And I've been struggling ever since I heard that, because now I know it's okay for that pastor to come in here and talk that way. It really made me stumble. And I felt terrible that I let that happen right here. You know, what we do and what we say leaves a mark on people. It's the fruit that comes out of our life. If we love God, we will live a life that honors him. Amen? And I'm not saying you can't do this and you can't. Don't go there with me. Because I live my life on convictions, and I have no convictions about some things you do, and I have convictions about some. Listen, if you can live your life before the Lord and honor him with your life and go to bed at night with a peace in your heart before the Lord, amen. I'm not here to fight you. I'm not here to be legalistic. Religious legalism is external. It's externally trying to change you. Relationship with God is internal, trying to transform you. Different. I don't need someone to come outside and pressure me to change. It ain't going to last. You can't do that. You can't eat McDonald's. I know. I won't until I drive by a drive-thru yesterday. Oh. Actually, I'm not going to lie. We were on our way to Square Donuts, and they were closed. Jeez. Heathens. Closing for Christmas holidays. How dare them. So I looked over and said, looks like we're going to McDonald's instead. I don't know which was better. But either way, it filled my fleshly need to eat junk. You can force me all day long and tell me I can't until something happens inside of me and it says, do not, this is wrong for you, then you'll continue to do it. It's got to be God, and it's got to be in working itself out, not external working its way in. It will never happen. You can tell me all day long that this is wrong, but until I know inside of my heart and I ask the Holy Spirit to manifest that in me, then it will transform me. That's what love does. God's love, and you want to do it, you want to change because you love God. You know he loves you. We're not asking that question anymore, right? We all know he loves you. You can walk out of here knowing that you're loved and chosen by God. As I think Andy and Laura shared this the best when we think of Olivia, when she was adopted. They went to Ethiopia and chose her, adopted her, and that's how God did. He chose you out of a multitude of millions. You're mine, you're mine, you're mine. Oh, we're loved. We're loved. Chosen, called, loved, 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 loved. But how do we respond to that love? This is the way. We honor him with our life. We honor him with obedience. Let's keep reading. We're not done yet. We're almost done. Yeah, I'm almost done. Oh, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I don't want to keep going. All I want to do is go verse by verse if you haven't noticed today. You know what makes you joyful? Being in the vine. Any of you lack joy in your life? Hey, connect back up to that vine. Joy comes flowing through. The roots of that plant comes flowing through you. And joy, if Jesus says, I've got joy in me and I want in you, that means you should be living in joy. If you need peace, it's in the vine. Get connected to the vine. There's joy in that vine. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. We talked about this last Sunday. The message of Christmas is God's love for us, is so that we experience and encounter this love in such a profound way that we love others with it. Verse 13, greater joy hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Living a life, honoring others more. And look what he says next. You are my friends. You see that? I would have liked Jesus a lot more if he didn't put that if in there. Wouldn't you all agree? Jesus is awesome. I love him. But I would have, man, imagine how much more our relationship would have increased more if he didn't put that if in there. Imagine how much better your marriage would be if you put the if in your marriage. Just saying. How much better your friendships would be if you put the if back in. We take the if out as people because we think that, hey, we're friends. We're friends if you do whatever I command you. Now, maybe you don't need to be doing that. Hold on. Don't apply that to every situation. But we can hear. My wife tells me every day, honey, this kid, she would never say that. You are my friends if you do. Folks, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not trying to put qualifications on it, but Jesus did. You are my friends, period. No, comma. Darn it. It's not a period. You are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command, if you obey me, if you honor me, I know you're my friend. The fruit of friendship is loving people and honoring them. That's the fruit of it. People ought to know you're a Christian because you can't be friends with somebody when you don't honor anything they do. A lot of friendships are very self-gratifying friendships. It's what can they do for me? But this is what can you do for him? Verse 15. Henceforth, I call you not as servants. Hallelujah. We're friends. For the servant knows not his Lord does. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me. Keep reading this. I have chosen you. And ordained you, hold on, why? That you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. You see a theme here? He said, you didn't choose me. I chose you, ordained you, so that you will bear fruit. I chose you that people would see your life and know that you're one of mine. I marked you. I marked you that when you walk out of this room today, they're going to know you're mine. I marked you that when you walk in the grocery store, they're going to know you're mine. You're marked. It's like being a cattle. You're marked. You're branded. I'm a child of God. I'm a friend of the King. He's my friend. Why? Because I honor him. I honor him as my friend. I honor him as my king. And what we have lost in the church today, let's just go. I have time. Let's go there. Jump to Isaiah chapter 6, and I don't think we're going to finish it. But let's just jump here for a minute. I'm going to end here. I think. People are like, how in the world are you going to do Isaiah 6 and John 15? I don't know either. Ready? Verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And I want you just, this first few verses, if you just want to close your eyes and picture this picture, it's probably one of the most glorious pictures in all the scripture, by the way. I read this and, because that's all we're going to read is the first few, by the way. We are going to, I want to save the rest for next week, maybe. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Picture yourself in that place right now. If you just would just for a second, picture yourself in the presence of holiness. We just talked about this. He loves us. He loves us. But now, he manifests his love and glory on us in this scripture here. But what do we do in response? Just like Jesus taught us in John 15. We obey, we honor. Look what happens to Isaiah here. It's phenomenal. One cried to another. I'm reading it again. And said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. As you're picturing this in your head this morning, imagine you being in this place right now today. You are in the presence of royalty, of the King, of all the universe. You are in the presence and the glory and the manifestation. Literally, the presence of God is like smoke in the room. It's that powerful. Can you picture it? As you're picturing it, this is a place of awe and reverence. And what we've done as a church is we've taken it for granted. This is his love, his glory manifested in us and around us. And a lot of times we walk out of there going, oh, wasn't that great? Oh, what a revival. Oh, man, God showed up. And we walk out of here. Look what happened to Isaiah in verse 5. Then said I, woe is me. Who? Me. I went in the presence of glory, in the presence of holiness, in the presence of the King. And I couldn't focus on all the fun, I could focus on how I need to be transformed. That I need to be changed. That I need to embrace the holy, awesome presence of God. Woe to me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. In 2019, I guess I will finish. I only have a few more verses now. Too bad. In 2019, I want the presence and the glory of God to change us, not entertain us. Hear me. When we come in for worship on Sunday mornings, it ought not just be, man, that band is amazing. We have amazing band. We are blessed. I want more than just a good band. I want to encounter the presence of God and have it change me. We've become numb as charismatics, Pentecostals, whatever you want to call yourself. I don't care. I hate labels. We become numb as believers to the presence of God, and it's no longer changing us. We're waiting on something else. We're waiting on feathers to fly from the sky or gold dust to appear. And those things I'm not against, by the way. I've been in a meeting where I've seen stuff happen. It's really wild, okay? I'm not walking in a room waiting to get flown down by the next preacher. I want to see the King. Just the King. That's good enough for me. Because when my eyes have seen the King, I've seen everything I need to see. He loves me. How do I respond? Woe is me. Transform me. Change me. Clean me. Make me holy. This is the heart cry I have for us this year. That we stop taking the presence of God for granted. And we start living in the presence of God as a transforming act. And when we get to a point in our lives where we see His presence, it ought to do something to us. Verse 6. This is in the presence of God after a revelation Isaiah had about himself. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and all your sins purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I. Send me. Don't we do this a little reversed? Or I'll go anywhere you want to go. Hey, here, go back to verse 5. You're in my presence. Do you want to be changed? Yes, you can go and be his witness. But imagine when he's looking forward, I need someone to send. But when he saw the heart of Isaiah, and he saw the vulnerability, the humility, and the raw nature of who he was before the throne, he said, I've been looking. 2 Chronicles 69, the eyes of the Lord are roaming to and fro throughout the earth, looking for a heart that's completely devoted to him. God is looking, whether we like it or not. He's still looking for someone who will stand in the gap, who will stand up and say, no more, who will stand up and say, holiness is holiness and righteousness is righteousness. He's still waiting for us to respond to his presence, to respond to his call. He's waiting for us. It's funny, 2 weeks in a row, Chad had words in the, we, if those that don't know, before church, we pray in my office with the prayer team and the worship team. And 2 weeks in a row, Chad's word, I'm like, and I didn't stop him this time. Last week I did. I'm like, you need to say something. This time I'm like, whatever, forget it. You're just starting to read my notes or something, I guess. But he's like, I'm praying for the church this morning that we would not just look to a new year as another bunch of choices and resolutions to make. But we would see it as an opportunity to make a choice day by day by day to be transformed. And as he said that, it's just, I love the confirmation. We need to be a church that has stopped looking that change will happen, but change starts now. Now in his presence. When you encounter the King, does it change you? Or have we just become so numb that we walk in here and, oh, we worship you, God. Oh, but did you see the game yesterday? Oh, yeah, Michigan got killed. Yeah, don't bring that up. That's a sore topic for me. I'll bring it up, Notre Dame fans and Purdue fans. We're all in the same boat this weekend. Yeah, we all got killed. So, you know, how can we talk like that in the same sentence? Oh, Lord, you're worthy. Hey, you know, I love football as much as anybody. Look, I knew all the score. I can tell you the scores. We all got killed. It was a bad, bad day for our three teams. But you know what wasn't bad? Jesus is on the throne. The King is reigning on high. And a football game shouldn't matter that much when it comes to being in the presence of God. How can we treat his presence like we do? I'm challenging you this year. And I cannot believe all these things. I told my wife when she walked in the office, said, I don't know how I'm going to fit all this in there. I did. And I don't know. It's a miracle. It's a New Year's miracle. I didn't think I'd get through it all. Thank you, team. Yes, you come on up. What are we going to do with his presence? We know he loves us, but are we going to bear fruit? If we're going to bear fruit, we got to get where Isaiah did. We got to get in his presence, and we got to let his presence change us. When you are in the vine changes every branch, and the branches start looking like the vine. The branches start bearing fruit like the vine designed. We are by design to bear fruit for the branch that we are in and called to be. And today is a pruning. This was a pruning season for Isaiah in chapter 6, verse 5. This was the pruning of Isaiah. He said, those branches that are bearing fruit, I'm going to prune. I'm going to cut them up, which I never understood this, by the way. All you people who do gardening, you cut something so it grows more. Yes, it works. And that's what he did right here to Isaiah. He cut them back. He pruned them up to make them so he could bear more fruit later. Sometimes we don't like to be cut back. Well, no one's asking you. If you want to bear more fruit, you're going to have to go and get pruned. So I'm asking you this year, are we going to be transformed? Are we going to allow ourselves to bear more fruit? We are called to bear fruit. John 15 cannot be more clear. And you know what? Some people don't like preaching because today we want to preach the fuzzy was a bear and fuzzy had no hair. We want to preach that kind of message. It makes everybody feel good. But what about if you love me, you'll obey me? That makes me feel good because it's God asking us to love him back. You know I love you, children, but why won't you obey? Amen? He said, his response to Isaiah, go and tell the people, hear you indeed. Then he gives them a great word of encouragement. Hey, by the way, you're going to go. They won't hear you. You're going to this. You're going to go. How? And then Isaiah's like, wait a minute. How long is it going to be? Just go until everyone's reached. You're going to reach a bunch of people that don't want to hear it. He didn't care about the audience. Isaiah didn't care about the audience. He knew he was going to go minister to people who did not want to. Does that not sound like America we're living in? I'm commissioning you to go. You're going to say it, and they might not like you for it. You're going to be somewhere and they might not want you there. But that doesn't stop the fact that you go. It doesn't stop the fact that just one person can be plucked out of that situation because you're there in obedience to God. I want to bear fruit in 2019. I want to be a church that bears more fruit. But it starts with each one of us having an encounter like Isaiah had. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. I can't believe after all that, and even after the Bible quizzing, that we're still early today. It must be either I talked really fast or I didn't have as much as I thought I did. Either way, it's all right. Woe to me, for I am undone. Holy Spirit, we ask you at this very moment to search our hearts. We're here in your presence. If there's something right now in your life, you don't have to go and make a spectacle of it because that's not how God deals with it. Will you surrender now? Will you give your life now? Are you tired of not bearing fruit? And not bearing fruit, what I mean is you're living in fear, anxiety, worry. You're living in sin. You're living in disruption. You have no peace in your life. That's what not bearing fruit feels like, in case you didn't know. Because when you're attached to the vine, he said you have peace and joy and comfort. We skipped over a few verses in chapter 14. It said that if you love me, and it goes, I'll send you a comforter. I'll send you the Holy Spirit who leads you to truth. That's being connected. The Holy Spirit connects us to the Father. I'm going to ask you this morning, in the presence of God, I want to build a scene for you and only you. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. I saw angels around the throne And the whole place was filled with glory. I ask you now, what do you do? I bow in worship. And I say to the Lord today, I'm undone. I feel unclean. My eyes have seen the King that is pure and holy, and I see where I am not. And the only way to bridge that gap is to put myself in a place on the altar so you can become everything I need. Kingdom-focused living starts today. Right now, I give myself on the altar. As the worship band is playing, and as the presence of the Lord is just going to manifest in your life, even this moment, if you'd like to come to the altar before we get out of here, I think it might be a good choice to go and say, woe is me. Not because of some emotional response, but because you're ready. You're ready to say, I'm undone. My eyes have seen the King. My eyes have seen the glory of God. And I realize I want more. I want to be transformed. I want to be changed. So as the worship team is playing to close us out this morning, if you'd like just to come and sit at this altar and say, today is the day I'm ready for 2019. It's time that this guy here bears fruit again. This lady right here bears fruit again. I'm ready to be a fruitful follower and lover of Jesus. As we worship today, I want these altars to be open for you and just come and kneel and say, today is the day for me. I'm starting 2019 here in a couple days, changed, transformed, and ready to bear fruit. Amen.
And Lord, we stand amazed in your presence, astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. And there is no one higher than our God. There is no one greater than you. And let my life forever praise the glory of your name. There is no one higher than you.
Lord, we stand amazed.
Oh Lord, we stand amazed in your presence, astounded by your mercy. presence, astounded by your mercy and love. Our hands are lifted high in surrender. Your grace for me is always enough. And there is no one higher than our God. And there is no one greater than you. Oh, let my life forever praise the glory of your name. And there is no one higher than you. And there is no one higher than you. Oh, there is no one higher than you.
Hallelujah. No fear, no, nothing is higher and greater than our God. We choose to walk in 2019. Amen? Free, ready to bear fruit. So, if that's you, you can stay up at the altars. We're going to keep playing a little bit. If you come back, you can still come up now. It doesn't matter. Enjoy the rest of this day. Tomorrow night, don't forget. If anybody wants to come out, come on out. Even if you have evening plans, remember, this is like afternoon. 6 o'clock is like afternoon. So, come on out. Enjoy us. Get some fellowship. And let's bring in the new year. Amen? All right, have a blessed week.
Lord, we stand amazed in your presence, astounded by